bringing you the best that wildlife has to offer here at Laurels Wood. This is Wildlife Whispers. Hello and welcome to the very, very first episode of Wildlife Whispers from here at Laurels Wood. So welcome along. It's a little bit nervous, don't really know how this is going to go, but we'll give it a shot. So thank you for finding us and hope you find the podcast over the coming days, weeks, months, whatever it might be, interesting and enjoyable and give you a little bit more information about everything here at Laurels Wood. I think it was probably about the right time to kind of step away from the Facebook page and the sort of anonymity of who we are. This is me. I'm not going to tell you my name because it might put the wildlife here at risk if people know where we are, who we are, etc. But yeah, this is me and this is my voice on here. The aim of the podcast really is to keep you up to date with everything that's happening here, whilst at the same time giving you some hints and tips about maybe how you could watch wildlife wherever you are. And we'll also talk you through like the various setups that we've got here. And as things are starting to pick up activity-wise, it should be, and fingers crossed it is, a very busy few weeks, if not months, for the birds and the wildlife here. There's going to be plenty going on. I hope you find it enjoyable. And I'd love for you to get involved as well. So if you've got any questions or you'd like to know a little bit more about the cameras or the recording equipment or the wildlife in general, about one particular type of bird or animal, then please just give me a shout and I'll do my best to answer as many questions as I can. You can reach me on my Facebook page or Instagram account, or just send me an email at info@laurelswood.com. Right, so let's find out what's been going on. It's been a really busy time lately, and it's lovely to see like the activity pick up quite a bit. And for the second year in a row, we've seen that the tawny owls have favoured the box again at the bottom of the wood. We were so lucky last year to have two owlets sort of born and raised within that box. And it was great to see them like pop out onto the ledge and then, yeah, make their own way in the world. So to have the tawny owls back breeding again in that box is absolutely fantastic. Slight issue that we've got is that the camera seems to have decided to drop off the network, which is so, so frustrating because we want to see what's going on in there. We've left it with two eggs in there, but are there more? I don't know, and I can't tell. I'm working so hard to try and get the camera back up and working on the network, and fingers crossed we'll have it very, very soon. But yeah, can't wait to see that journey and see how they develop and change over time. So yeah, really exciting time with the tawnies. So let's turn to the barn owls. I would love to know whether it's the same two parents we had last year. But I've tried comparing stills and looking at the images, looking at the markings. They're so hard, particularly on infrared, to kind of decide, are they the same bird as last year or not? It's really, really difficult. And I think this is where sometimes giving them names, I started doing names way, way back when we had Ringo and Boo, and that was down to my daughter. But when we sort of get 3 or 4 years in, and there's no way for definite when they're unringed of knowing whether they're the same bird or not, let's just call them barn owls and follow their journey that way. But we've seen sort of breeding behaviour from the birds, so things are certainly heading the right way. There've been a few mating opportunities in the box, a little bit wary of each other to start with, but now they're sort of getting more in tune with each other. The female's been sort of padding round the box and breaking up the pellets. Some people think it's for want of a better word, it's poo or excrement that's in the box, but it's actually not. It's the pellets that the owls have produced after eating sort of a healthy dinner. And it's all the bones and the fur that they can't digest, and they sort of regurgitate it in a pellet. So those are getting broken up at the moment, And that kind of forms the soft bed for them to lay the eggs on. So with mating behaviour, pellet breaking up, it's all shaping up really nicely. They're both around most nights. So, yeah, fingers crossed in the next few weeks, we might see them take it to the next level. And if we're lucky enough, yeah, let's hope for some eggs again for 2024. Now, probably one of the most exciting sites that I'm trying to sort of cover this time, brand new for 2024, are the kestrels. We've got it was a live site last year in like the old ash tree that's at the bottom of the garden, and one of the limbs fell off in the storms maybe 2-3 years ago, and there's a hollow where the branch used to be. And we heard and we saw kestrels going in and out of that last year. So I managed to get hold of a Green Feathers solar-powered camera. Doesn't need cabling. Literally, it just connects to a little solar panel and it goes up a tree. So you don't need to be near network points or anything like that. Absolutely brilliant. So the tree ninja, as I like to call him, my friend Mick, came round and went up the ash tree and got this probably about 5 or 6 metres high in the tree so that the camera overlooks the little hollow. Now, we've seen like leaves going in and out and all that kind of thing. It's just trying to capture at the right time the kestrels as they start to get ready to breed this year. I'm so hoping it comes off. I'd love to be able to share that with you over the coming weeks. So yeah, fingers crossed, kestrel site. It's work in progress, but yeah, hopefully I'll have something really good to share very, very soon. And finally, to kind of wrap up the look around everywhere here at the minute, the blue tits and the great tits are back. We did have a semi-successful fledging of blue tits last year. I think we ended up with about 5 that left. From a possible sort of maybe 8 or 9 eggs. But so it was a fairly decent return. The great tits, they've only ever done a nest here properly once. They kind of abandoned it last year for whatever reason. And we always seem to be about 5 or 6 weeks behind everybody else in the country in this part of Lincolnshire. People down south have had nest building already. Other parts of the country have nest building. I don't know if it's because it's the climate here or our own little weather system. I don't know what it is. But yeah, we're always about 5 weeks behind everybody else. But the signs are good. They're popping in and out. They've been roosting here since probably like October, November last year. Obviously, like the boxes are a nice, comfortable place to stay. And people say, well, why don't you put like straw in or some kind of bedding material for them? I've tried that. They don't like it. they prefer the empty box, the wooden base of the board, the box. So that's kind of what they like. So why change it? And they'll bring their own nesting material with them when they're ready to go anyway. So yeah, fingers crossed again on that front. Blue tits, great tits, fingers crossed. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention, the badgers. They're always here. I'll do a special episode about badgers in the coming weeks. But yeah, we're so fortunate that we've got a couple of sets that are not too far away from here. And we've seen the cubs over the years. We've seen the parents. We used to have one come right up to the back door. But then we seem to get a dog and that kind of put the kibosh on that, really. I don't think it liked sort of the smell necessarily of the dog and coming too close. So it now keeps to the wood at the bottom. Which is fine, but we've got a lovely camera overlooking where they come in and the little feeding table and things. So yeah, I'll do a whole episode on badgers at some point in the future. So that kind of wraps up where we're up to this week with all the wildlife goings on here at Laurel's Wood. So yeah, I'll try and keep you updated every single week going forward, because there's going to be loads happening. So hope you can join me for that. People often ask, well, how did it all begin? How did Laurel's Wood come about? And I think it started, we've lived here probably around about 12 years now, I think. And we'd moved from like a very urban house in the middle of a town, big town, and have moved out to this little village in Lincolnshire. And it was such a change. And such, as soon as we moved in, we saw like pheasants in the garden and that kind of thing. And we thought, this is just like amazing. So I tried to capture a badger, I think it was at first, because we saw sort of dig marks in the lawn. And I thought, well, how can we go about sort of seeing what's going on? Because obviously it happens at night. And found the TV guy who put our aerial up when we moved in. He was talking to me and he said, well, you get these little like CCTV cameras and you can put that maybe in your garden and we could wire it into your telly, just hardwire it in. So we did. And then within the space of like probably a week, we there was no motion detection or anything like that. So we just had to keep looking on and seeing what we could see. And we saw this amazing, huge badger one day. And that just kind of, it was the spark really that kind of wanted me to take it forward. So yeah, the little CCTV camera there was, yeah, that well, it ignited everything. I then sort of thought, well, if there's badgers here, there's got to be badgers down at the bottom of the wood. And so I sort of did a little investigation online and found that, yeah, maybe a trail camera would be really good, because there wasn't internet down there, there's no power down there. So it had to be something that you could leave out, that's battery operated, but would still pick up whatever's going on. And so for a couple of years, I had this Bushnell HD camera, it was an absolutely brilliant camera. And I was just amazed. It was like night vision. You could see what was going on. It was just so exciting, having never studied anything like that or experienced anything like that before, to suddenly see owls. Not owls, sorry. We did get one owl on the Bushnell. That was in the daytime. But yeah, badgers, foxes, the odd deer. It was absolutely amazing. Now, I loved that camera and I took it to the set down the road, just a little bit further on in the village, and managed to capture the badgers going in and out of the set. Saw some little cubs. Absolutely brilliant. And then, sadly, it died, the Bushnell camera. And so I looked around again online just to see if there were any alternatives, and then ended up with like a Browning Patriot camera, which was, again, a brilliant, brilliant trail camera. And you could sort of mount it to trees or to sort of stumps and things like that to try and get the right position for what you wanted to film. And I think probably the best thing that I had when I ended up with the trail camera was a tree clamp. And it screws into the tree, and then you can position your trail camera on top of it, and then you don't have to worry about sort of taking it down. You can get it precisely exactly where you want it to be, to try and capture the kind of best shots that you want. And it just gets addictive. You'd go out every morning and go, oh, right, okay, let's see what the trail camera's managed to find. And then some days there'd be nothing. And then other days there'd be hundreds of clips to go through. I think if you're going to do that kind of thing, then lithium batteries are the way to go for those. They last so much longer than regular batteries. So if you're leaving it out for a good period of time, the lithium batteries work really, really well. And you can get like 3 months out of them. So yeah, that's kind of how it all started, really, for sort of watching the wildlife here. One of the things I'd love to do on this podcast is answer any questions that you might have, or your kids might have, if you ever show them the clips. And kids have got such amazing minds. I know that our daughter, she loves to ask questions all the time about what's going on here, and particularly when it gets to ringing the barn owls, if we ever get to that point again. What an opportunity for a little girl to kind of hold the barn owl and help weigh it, and it's just amazing. But they've got so many brilliant questions. So yeah, over the coming weeks and months, please send me your questions and I'll do my best to answer them, either from my own knowledge or by asking some of the experts that I regularly kind of call upon throughout the year. I'll start the podcast off, though, on this episode with the one question I probably get asked all the time, and it's, where are you? Now, I like to be quite vague because I don't like to put the wildlife or the habitats here at kind of risk, because there are some people who potentially might interfere and do things like that if they ever found out where we were. So about as specific as I get is we're in a village in Lincolnshire. That's it. I won't even say who I am. You'll just hear my voice or watch my stuff on Facebook and Instagram. But yeah, Lincolnshire is it's a pretty big enough place to kind of keep everything safe. We're also, for those people that aren't sure where Lincolnshire is, it's in the UK, for those people listening overseas. And that sometimes gives a little bit of confusion when I post pictures and videos of buzzards that are they're sort of European buzzards over here. But Americans, I think they have a different term for them. They call them falcons. And so there sometimes is a little bit of confusion. So I'll try and be as explicit as I can in the posts for our overseas viewers. But it's fantastic to know that so many people are able to access the wildlife from the comfort of their own chair here, wherever they are in the world, and enjoy what's going on here. So yeah, if you've got any questions, please send me a direct message either on Facebook or on my Instagram page, or alternatively send me an email to info@laurelswood.com, and I'll try my best to answer as many as I can. So we're coming towards the end of our first ever episode here at Wildlife Whispers. And next time, we'll check in again with the tawny owls and see how things are progressing there. I hope, I really, really hope that I get the network issue sorted out. I don't know what's going on. I've got a camera outside the box so I can see when birds are going in and out. But I need to get the inside view sorted again. She might be on more than two eggs now. She might be three, might be four. So yeah, next time, hopefully I'll have some good news and we'll be checking in and seeing how the incubation is progressing there. Will the barn owls have moved on to the next stage and sort of got even closer to egg laying stage? Or maybe they have by then. Who knows? We'll find out next time. And will the blue tits and great tits have caught up with the rest of the country and started nest building? We'll find out. I'll also be giving you some behind-the-scenes secrets of the barn owl setup here. What actually goes into, or how did it all come about? What goes into filming them? What cameras are used? Hopefully to inspire you that if you have an area where you might want to create a setup or watch a little bit of wildlife wherever you are, hopefully it'll give you some info and some hints and tips to be able to do that. So all that remains for me to say is, well, thanks for listening. I hope you found it useful, informative, and hopefully a little bit entertaining. So yeah, make sure you tell your friends and share this podcast with whoever you think might find it interesting. You can follow us on social media. Just look for Laurelswood on Facebook, Instagram, or X. I still call it Twitter, but yeah, X. And so, yeah, thanks very much for listening and enjoy the wildlife wherever you are. Thanks very much. Speak to you next time.